I don't even know where we go next with this one.
Time on the Coffee Club Podcast.
We do a segment called Coffee Cauldron, which is like Q&A. We have like a special Woody like Q&A. If you want to, do you want to take a question?
I mean, we'll take a question to keep the fire going. Sure.
Anonymous message from a competitor in the Sound Running 2022 10K. Why did you spike and trip Klecker with 500 meters to go?
I'm pretty sure. Why did I spike Joe Klecker?
Because he sat down.
Quickly hit a wall and slowed down. No, he slowed down.
No, he slowed down. No, he slowed down.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club.
Why did I spike Joe Klecker? Because he slowed down.
The question was.
He hit a wall. So I was actually just keeping the same pace.
So you were trying to help propel him forward.
You were trying to help him.
No, he slowed down. If you're we're running 65s, right? And then he started slowing down to 67 to meet. Like quickly, he quickly hit a wall and slowed down. So I clip him because like that's what happens when you just stop your momentum.
You didn't...
And then after that, I went around him and took it actually.
I do remember this.
So, you know, you can say I spiked Joe Klecker, but it's like, yo, if you put on the brakes, someone's going to run into you. Mm-hmm. Especially he knew I was right behind him. I don't think he did it on purpose, and I didn't do it on purpose either. It's just mm-hmm. like,
it's a very
what
politically,
happens?
That's a very politician answer. Mm. It's a good one.
That's what happened.
I actually...
I don't know what to say.
I do agree with you that's what happened. It was just, it was entertaining to watch, and afterwards there was a little bit of...
I was playing the cooldown. Let's chill out.
Wait, were you there?
Yeah, I was there because I paced it.
Wow.
Yeah, you did.
Feels like so long
and
ago.
And I remember Joe was fired up, as Joe gets, you know. But Joe's one of those guys where he fires up and then he like
cools down.
Yeah, he's very good at like
mm-hmm. like a cauldron.
He can get passionate about something and then. Doesn't get a like. He doesn't hold grudges. But he was like really like hard up. That's like Joe. Was like we'll just cool down. Like whatever. And then I think you came over and you're like, oh, like, I want to chat to Joe. And I was like, dude, no, don't talk to Joe right now. Like give it like 5-10 minutes.
The thing is, I share that. I also can get heated, but like I can see that was what was going on yeah. with Joe too. And I like when you told me like, nah, get out of here.
Yeah.
I was like, it's fine.
That is the admirable thing to do though, to go and try to talk it out.
No, that 100% is. I mean. Will we see this more than 1500? Will Josh and Jakob talk it out?
It's been attempted.
It's
so
been
far,
attempted so far. Hasn't worked. I mean, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that was. I think what made that confrontation, if you want to call it that,
yeah.
even more electric, is that it was kind of part two of the Woody Joe battles. I mean, you guys have had many battles, but. It came not that long after the 5K, where you absolutely popped off and you ran 12:51. So I think that just made it way more hype and entertaining. And it was coming off like because the 12:51 race that was a crazy race. I actually watched that recently, and I didn't like running 12:51 is very hard. It's very hard.
No one's done it since, by the way.
the way you ran it though, Woody, I was there
actually
in person. I was
Grant
there
Fisher
watching.
Hasn't he almost broke? Yeah. But he didn't need.
Yeah, he was 53. 50, yeah,
he was close, but he did run 12:51. Technically,
when I was there, I remember I'm thinking, "Oh, Joe's got this in the bag." And then Joe hit a wall near the end, but he was like still running.
He's still running quick.
And then
just
all of a
really
sudden, I see this figure just all of a sudden going absolutely bonkers, and it's Woody, and I'm like, "There's no way he's gonna catch him from there." I was like, "Oh wait, it's Woody. He's probably gonna catch him from there."
Yeah, how did you actually feel in
like,
that
closing
race?
Closing that was insane.
I mean, that race was incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, I had just left Bowerman Track Club, trained on my own, joined Mike Smith for 3 weeks, like really needed some sign that like this was going in the right direction and like came together at a good time. And you know, I appreciate you guys putting on that race.
Don't look at me.
I appreciate you guys doing that. But like,
I paced that one
time,
as well.
Like,
I paced a lot of your races, Woody.
I know you have.
You got me thinking.
But I paced a lot of races myself.
No.
It comes around.
No, dude. That's the thing. I paced a lot of races, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's all going to pay off for me. And then I got injured, so it didn't matter.
Anyway. That's the thing. Yeah.
I got injured, so it didn't matter. But I remember watching that race, and Joe was crushing. I was like, he's gonna
run from 3K onwards. When maybe it was 3200. When were you? You were the second pacer. You went all the way to 36.
I was always.
Sam was the second pacer.
So Sam Atkin wasn't the pacer.
I thought he was.
No.
Yes, he was.
He was in it to race. He doubled up because he ran really well in the 3K.
Yep.
And then he doubled up, and then he knew that he wasn't going to finish the race. So then he went in front of me thinking, oh, I'll give the pacer some help, and then started running like 61s.
I was like, well, whatever he was,
I know that
he was
magic.
An amazing pacer.
That was magic. That was awesome. Then,
but what happened was it got us onto pace, and I think I ran 7:42 or something through 3K.
No, it was like 47.
Sorry, 7:47?
Yeah.
Yeah, we ran that through 3K, and then I think I did a couple more laps and I jumped off. And then then Joe was crushing. I'm like, this, he's going to run.
Yeah, when Joe took over.
Yeah. I thought he was going to run.
He put the
get the American
the
record. It was going to be great. And then Woody was like, hold my beer, and just went.
I can't tell, like, on B-Real, we follow each other on B-Real. Like, me and Joe are tight on B-Real. But, like, when we race each other, it's like, I can't lose to Joe. It's like, I can't lose to Joe.
That's your mentality?
Yeah.
Can you lose to one of us? Or
yeah. Do you have that same mentality with us? Or more friendly?
No, because the thing is like, I'll beat Joe three times. And if he beats me once, it still sticks with me. I feel it still bothers me. But, like, I feel like when
so you're saying you're more
with
okay, like if Grant Fisher beats you, you're like, oh, Grant just beat me.
I don't like to lose it in general, but for some reason Joe does. It's like I can't. Maybe because he's like Colorado guy. I could maybe I don't know. It definitely there's definitely something there. I would love to
so
know.
There is
what
beef,
Joe,
is what you're saying. You get
there's beef. There's beef, but it like on B-Real, there's no beef.
I would say it's a healthy beef considering the way you talk about it. Because you guys, When
you guys ran 12:51 and 12:53 or 12:54, it clearly,
I mean, Joe, when Joe's mentioned it, he's like, it's just making me better.
He says that. I mean, I wish he would say that publicly.
I'm not saying he's going, oh, Woody makes me better runner. I don't think he's saying that, but in general, like, he's getting pushed, right?
Yeah. The thing is, we do, like, that race.
Like, whether it's from you or from Grant or whatever, because, like.
Joe is a front runner, right?
Yeah.
But I think me being right behind him is also like
that's the beautiful thing about it. You guys are polar opposites in that way.
Exactly.
What's the opposite of a front runner? Woody Kincaid.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't worry. I'm also kind
of
like
you are that. Literally the opposite of Stewie McSwain, almost as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because Stewie does not come from behind. Like, Stewie and George are the opposite.
Yeah, there's just different types of runners out there.
Different types of runners.
But I don't know which kind of runner. It's like people have their favorite type of runner. And I don't know where you would put, like, where would you put Stewie McSwain of like a guy that always is going to take it from the gun, make it pretty fast at least, but not like crazy fast, but very fast, and then get beat in the end, most likely.
Not always.
Not always.
He won a lot of diamond leagues doing that.
Early on, yeah.
Yeah. But I would say that's the thing, right? It's your personal preference, but it's also like, who do you like as a runner as an athlete? Because like people probably enjoy and have a lot of respect for Stewie, right?
Sure do.
And they probably really enjoy and respect somebody like you, Woody. But then if somebody like, I don't know, like for example, I'm not trying to diss him, but...
Sounds like a diss.
Yeah, this is about to be a diss.
I'm just saying, somebody like Josh, for example, Josh might run a similar race and people might not like him as much.
What do you mean?
Are we talking about Kerr?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying, Yucca Josh might run a similar race and people might not like him as much because I think it's just dependent on the runner.
I think it's a precedent they've set.
Yeah.
So it's like.
But I think it's like people might not like Yucca because they think, oh, he's too arrogant, but he runs races like that, you know? But then if somebody else runs a race like that and they're.
I'm not following exactly.
Okay. So if Stewie runs a race from the front with the pacer, executes it really
well,
he gets
good credit
and wins,
for that.
Right? He gets credit for that.
Yeah.
If somebody like Josh does that, but people don't like necessarily Josh because they think he's cocky or whatever, and people are like, oh, you know, you would have got smoked if you had this person in this race. Like, there's like just different perceptions depending on how people race.
Right. So you're saying personality comes into like,
play depending on
racing. It's not just style, their tactics, but also like, how is this person's personality?
For example,
like, are they doing this on purpose?
If somebody didn't
are they
like,
messing with this
yeah,
person?
If somebody didn't like you or George, and they're like, oh, George wouldn't have run that if they went fast, and then if they had somebody that didn't like Stewie, and it's like, oh, well, if Woody or George win that race, they would have kicked you.
Yeah.
It's just dependent on the personality of it.
There are people that will never, that will only like front runners. And there are people that only like tactical runners.
Is that because they were front runners, you think?
It probably inspires them. I'm just thinking of some of the greats, and I'm thinking of like Steve Prefontaine. Mm. He's famous for being a front runner and a badass and everything else. And then you got like, let's say,
Would he have always been a front runner?
I think he was he was just better than everyone.
Perhaps.
Like a lot better. Mm. So I think it's a bit easier. And then you have, like, I'm trying to think of other stars, like in the USC, maybe like Legat. He's famous for his kick. Yeah, it's just apples and oranges at the
Cole
end of the day.
Cole Holcomb is pretty famous for his kick now as well.
Yeah, I mean, Cole's just a legend. Yeah, gold medalist.
Truly, yeah.
With his kick.
Did you see, I don't know if this is a new thing, but did you just see his story the other day?
No.
He was running, I don't know if he was running tempo or rep or regular run on a treadmill, but he was running it on a negative
incline. Downhill.
Yeah.
Never seen that before.
I saw that, yeah.
Never seen that before.
Yeah, he's running downhill is easier. Is he trolling us?
I'm like, are you trolling me or is this an actual like better thing to do?
But that's the thing. Once you get a gold medal, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly. People will believe it. Yeah. It
doesn't matter.
Exactly.
I was looking at it going, imagine if we just told Dathan, hey Dathan, we should do this. He'd probably look at it and actually like assess it because he's won a gold medal. He's like, maybe we should look at this.
Yeah.
Or like 100% no, really bad for your knees or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mike Smith was joking about they have the oxygen in a bottle now. Like they just have like pure oxygen bottles, like for clean air.
Oh really?
In, like this dystopian world. They're like
in Flagstaff?
No, just in general. They're like bottling.
oxygen bottle.
This sounds illegal.
No. This is like, I don't know, in China and stuff. They have like, they bottle the oxygen so the people can
breathe. I love it how you said illegal. You guys, oh, no, but it's in China.
Like, I don't know. But, yeah. But like, it'd be funny if like one of those times that track, all access track and field comes up that we just take in some oxygen in between reps so that we get pure H2O. And just see how many people latch on
start doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens with everything in running, though. It really does.
I mean, the lactate testing. Look how that blew up in the past few years. Everybody's pricking their ears and thumbs and
trying to think of other things. I know the Joe just bought one of the.
That one's pretty established at this point.
Joe just bought one of the headbands.
20, 30 years.
You know the headbands, that the marathoners wear? Do you know those?
No, I don't know.
Kipchoge wore it.
It's like an Olympic marathon.
A nice
Helen wore one.
I know that Kipchoge wears that thing on his arm.
Yeah,
sugar.
Yeah, the Galen Rupp did some weird stuff that I'm sure everyone copied.
Like the
nose strips. Yeah, you guys do nose strips. I don't know if you specifically, but
I do sometimes. Yeah, I did for the Olympics.
Yeah,
I think they're good.
I mean, they feel good.
I've never done it.
Me neither. Not for a race.
Yeah,
just for fun.
Do you reckon I could start a trend with like maybe drinking a shit ton of Guinness and then getting to the line and just crushing it, and people are like, oh,
no,
wait,
people did that.
Guinness has got good carbs in it.
That's that's what many good runners did.
I know that people who can't sleep before marathons. I know one person, and I won't name them, that they can't sleep before a marathon. They just have one glass of wine just so they can sleep. So
yeah.
I mean, it's not all perfect, right? It's like when I use the nose strip, it makes me sneeze.
Mm.
Like I feel like I breathe too well. I'm sneezing. Yeah.
Wait, you said a glass of wine makes you sneeze or just?
No. Well, that too, strip. But like the nose strip.
Yeah. I think. If you win a gold medal, yeah, as you said, if you win a gold medal and you do anything, people are going to copy it, even if it's pretty wild. Probably especially if it's very wild, because then it's more like outlandish.
Well, people will copy.
Like double threshold.
Well, double threshold.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane.
Everyone's doing it these days. And
you guys are doing it.
No, we don't.
We don't do it.
I was just.
Or do we? Or do we?
We do double threshold. We do double threshold, triple. But it's in one workout.
Yeah, we take them. It's just like a 2-minute recovery between now and
thresholds. Double. You just keep doing threshold.
Infinite threshold.
Infinite threshold.
2-minute recovery.
I do actually. Sorry, I do want to ask you about that transition for you from Bowman to Mike when you did start doing double threshold, because I do remember I ran into you one time. This is when, as you said before, you lined up at BU and ran 12:51. You had been kind of training on your own for a bit when you were going through that transition period and you weren't sure exactly what was going to happen. You were spending time here back in Colorado doing some training around the Boulder area. And I ran into you one time and you were about to bang out a double threshold session. I think you were doing your first run of the day and you started telling me about it. You're like, yeah, this is cool. This is fun. I'm running higher volume with less intensity than I ever did with Bowman. And I'm feeling amazing. And then fast forward a month, it really paid off. Is that essentially how you saw things going? You were like, I want to try out I've killed my body for years at Bowman.
Yeah, I mean, the reasoning behind it was like, hey, I'm leaving Bowman. I can't do Bowman training. I need to think of I can't just continue Bowman training. If I'm going to do something else, I want to try something new. And you know, you'd have to be blind to not know about threshold training and all that going on. And so I tried it, and that was actually the second day I'd ever even tried it.
Really?
Yeah. That was with Katie and Ryan Hill.
Yes.
And Ryan Hill never had tried lactate testing either. And I think that's probably the last time he ever did. Yeah, that was on a road in Boulder, and yeah, I responded to it really well.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the results did show that it was working pretty well for you. Is when you think about transitioning to Flagsmith Elite, double threshold is something that jumps off the page. It's like, okay, this is obviously something different. What are the other differences that might not be as obvious in your training system that you think have helped you continue to improve as an athlete across these last couple of years?
I think resting, probably. I think there's a lot to be said about taking days off, which I would never have done before, but I take days off now.
What do we mean by take days off?
Well, the guys take prescribed days off. They'll take a day off once a week.
Once a week.
Which is quite a lot, yeah. I think. But I don't do it that much. But
dude, Ritz would roll over in his grave if he took a day off.
Ritz?
Yeah,
and he had like 13,000 stress fractures.
Maybe, Ritz actually gives us prescribed cross training days now. Oh, we're giving away fucking information.
Well,
sorry. That was he baited us there.
I got it.
Yeah. Prescribed, to be fair though, my last prescribed cross training day, he changed it to a 5-mile run. So,
yeah. Which is not a lot anyways. It's close to a day off, which is usually what I do now as well. But I'll take a day off every now and then, which I never would before.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. Anything else?
Nah, that's all you get. That's all you get. And I think that's good advice for anybody out there.
Does Mike do meetings? Does he talk to you guys one-on-one? Or is it more like you have to go and talk to him at practice? You get a certain window.
He's a busy
window,
man. He's hard to
certain
find.
Certain window, a couple of hours of practice. You maybe get a question in and that's it. Or can you approach Mike, text him, say, hey, let's go to a Zen garden. Let's get a rake. Let's just have a chat.
You know, it's to be decided how Mike is going to really approach this pro thing. Mm. Because he's still kind of college guy right now.
Yeah.
For now.
And my time with Mike Smith, he's still been college boy.
Mm. That's been his job.
Yeah, it's been his job. And I've been like, hey, can you not do this?
Yeah,
and he's like, no, how about you showed up here? But
you chose this.
Yeah, you chose this. I'm like, no, you want to be a pro coach. And he's actually doing it. So it's to be decided how he's going to run. I think every team kind of has its own flavor. I think that Bowerman has its own flavor. I think OAC has its own flavor.
What flavor would you say we are?
On the I think you guys are taking the Bowerman model in some ways. And kind
we're a mixture of Bowerman and Project for sure with our training.
And Oregon Project.
Yeah, well, Project like training.
I'm happy you specified that. I thought you were going to say something else.
the training, like 200s and hills. That's not.
But Bowerman do that. That's big Bowerman.
Yeah, but you guys aren't doing anything. That started with a project, though. That was a project workout, and then it moved to Bowerman and moved to us.
Well, all of that disseminated from people don't want to talk about it. But of course, that was like the very first elite team for the United States was Oregon Project, where these guys changed the game.
Athletics West.
Yeah.
History lesson.
But I mean, that's all like, you know, these good pieces of training have all disseminated to all these teams.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what's changed a lot of why people are not, you guys are a team where people are still coming here. And I think that that's a good thing, but a lot of people are moving away from teams because training has grown and become so much easy to access. People are doing good training now. When it used to be a little bit like the coach kind of held all the cards, and now people are able to see, okay, higher volume does a lot of stuff or perhaps a Dilgy approach, you know, like I didn't know any other ways of training other than the team I was on when I first started running. And now I'm more aware of how other people train. And I think that's changed the entire sport.
It's more information for sure.
More information. And it makes people able to train on their own in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
When it used to be like,
you needed a coach. There was some gatekeeping of information.
And Dathan, he's a good coach, obviously. Like, he's done a great job. But, you know, I think that what Mike Smith brings to the table more than any coach I've ever had, even though I like Rob Connor and Jerry a lot, is like, I think he brings the mental side of the sport, and that's how you get the cult figure, right? Because he's really good at that.
Mm. Explain that.
I think he's good. You know, there is more like optimization of training is not the the only way to train. Like, just having the best training is not going
to
make you
the
best runner.
It's not the only way to get best optimal performance.
Right, exactly.
And somebody else has said this.
And was it Jordy?
No, it was Jakob. Jakob said, I train smarter when people train harder.
Yeah.
Which means that you have
the
best training.
That's not exactly what he's saying, because optimal training could mean the smartest training.
Well, but smartest training doesn't always mean like you train like the hardest or the best, right?
Right. It doesn't mean you're training like the best method or you're doing everything correctly. A lot of training is having relaxation outside of running. Like, are you able to relax and actually absorb this training? Are you able to have good enough training that you are still progressing faster than other people? You know, and also like, are you having a coach that's gonna put you in the right place before a race? So it's not just, I think so many people are focused on like, I need to have the best training.
The workouts.
I need to have the workouts. I need to do threshold training. I need to do all that. And you do need a mix of better training that has evolved. But if you don't have a good coach, if you don't have the ability to relax outside of running, you're not going to have the best performance. That stuff makes way bigger difference than having the incremental change from having slightly better training.
And so you've found that better now in your current setup compared to previous setups?
No, I think it's about the same. I fortunately have had a... That's why I'm good. Like, I've had...
Okay, don't need to brag.
Okay, yeah, but I
you
feel
talked
like,
about us joking each other off.
Can that be the title of the of the podcast?
I didn't... Yeah, I mean, you guys got me talking, but... you know, I think that the reason why I've made progression is because I've been in systems like Bowerman where I had great training and great training partners and a good system around me. At Portland, I had a great coach and great team around me. And, you know, when I left, I had a lot of support from a lot of people, and Mike Smith took me in pretty quick.
Not to change the subject, but how important do you think Mike Smith's voice is? And he's coaching.
You mean his literal way of speaking?
Yeah.
Not his voice. Yes. I think that
it's pretty important, I reckon.
You got asked. There's a reel recently of like him getting asked, like, "Oh, what coach, what are they doing today?" And he just goes, like pause for 3, 4, 5 seconds, just walks up and goes, "We're doing 1,000s. I was like, "Who the fuck talk like?"
And it was just like a 10x K workout.
Does he always talk like that? Or just like coaching.
That's when he's in coaching mode, right? I think the reality is every coach you'll ever meet has coaching person and then normal person. Because when you put on that coaching hat, you have a job, right? And I think that's Mike's coaching life. He's like, "All right, we're doing thousands. We're doing thousands."
Do you reckon his wife, like, because she's obviously coached by him, she sees both sides of the Mike Smith?
And I don't want to see both sides. I just want Coach Mike.
That makes sense.
You don't want to see. You don't want to see officiating Mike.
I think Mike is beautiful for what he brings to the table, and that his life is his own life.
But you're gonna see officiating Mike at some point. Like, somebody's gonna get married, in Mike Smith. When they call it again, Flagstaff Elite.
Flagsmith Elite.
Somebody's gonna get married in Flagsmith Elite, or Jordy gets married and then he officiates Jordy's wedding.
Joins Mike's group. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, I think George has re-signed. But if he didn't, I'd be very worried. If George didn't re-sign with On, I'd be extremely worried. He's joining Mike Smith, Flagsmith Elite.
I'm sure there's a piece of him that would want to.
Oh no, dude! I bet you he's on that bike right now thinking about it. I guarantee. Because I mean, Jordy, we joke about Mike, and Jordy likes joking about Mike, but I know Mike loves Jordy, and Jordy loves Mike.
They
do love each other. So that to me is scary because I know how much pull. Mike Smith has.
Yeah, it's like you married Jordy, but like he know, like every time he sees his ex,
yeah,
like they look at each other a little bit too long.
All right,
You started it. You asked the question about his voice.
Yeah, but you guys took it somewhere. Took it somewhere else. The answer, I guess, is yes. It's important.
It's important. It is important.
Yeah, his voice is important, and you're right. Like, we'll leave it at that.
Amazing. Do you know your plans for 2020? You kind of just leaked that you might be racing Houston.
Yeah, I think about racing Houston. I think about doing the 10 for confidence purposes, like just because I'm going to run the 10 at track outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I might do that. But I also want to get into the roads because next year I'm going to the marathon.
Transition time, baby.
Transition time. But I also, I'm all in on the track this year. And so I could see myself doing the 10 or the half.
You wouldn't do both? That's probably what I'm doing.
You're doing both.
Yeah. I mean,
what's the break in between them?
Like, 2 months, 3 months, 2 months, over 2 months. That's
yeah,
pretty long.
I think that I could do both. It's really,
do you want to go to BU and bang out a 5K, or you're not interested anymore now that you've run so fast there?
No, I think that I'm good.
Yeah. Fair I'm good. Enough. Fair enough.
No. And I think that, 10K is probably where my sights are right now.
Yeah. How do you feel about the changing landscape of now that you've, I don't know how many freaking USAs you've competed in. One of my favorite Woody things was that for a long time, your bio was, I'm literally the US Olympic trials 10K champ, 2021. Yeah, that was one of my favorite things ever. You've competed in many, you've been successful in many. How do you feel about these freaking young guns that are coming through? You got Parker Wolf, 20 years old. You got Graham shooting blanks.
I think Parker's the real deal.
Yeah. Colorado boy.
And Ethan's really good also too. And he's exactly a Colorado boy. But I'm mostly impressed by his kick. Yeah. I think Parker Wolf has.
It's not just his kick. He's like, he's closing.
His closing, yeah.
It's like the last mile.
It's like, yeah. He has all the tools where he can close that last mile and he has the kick. And it's like, that guy's the truth. Ethan's really good too. Just beat him in that 3K. I don't know. It's gonna be a challenge, but I still think I'm just up there with them. And if it comes down to a kick, you know who's gonna win between me and Parker? I think it'd still be me.
Yeah. What about if Joe Klicker was there?
If I'm honest, Joe Klicker, there's gonna be people so mad. Joe Klicker is gonna be wise to go to the roads at this point. I think that there's a lot of kickers coming up.
You don't think he's going
to
have any...
I reckon he'll race the 10K this year.
I think that's possible.
But why would you not race... Why would you... Even if you're going to the roads, it's like, it doesn't mean like you can't run the 10K.
No, exactly. You know? Exactly. So and that's what I love about it. And I think Joe, you know, there's like... I would not be surprised if he makes the 10K team.
Yeah.
Not at all. I think that...
It's going to get a lot more competitive. I mean, because let's say last year, when you guys lined up, you guys knew who was going to the Olympics.
Man, I wasn't sure, but yeah,
but in like,
I was confident, like I got this.
Yeah, not to
once
over,
I was healthy on the line, yeah. I was like, I got this.
But I'm not sure that's. I mean, the 10K keeps getting harder and harder to qualify for, so maybe it will continue to be the case. But
we got Nico as well.
Yeah,
Nico's really good.
Nico's really, really good.
He's really, really good.
Yeah. And they were so young, so they just have gotten to that level at such young ages.
This is my.
But they
question.
Do train. They train really well.
This is my
they
question. Does
solid.
That mean that they're going to have shorter careers or longer careers? Because we obviously didn't get there that early, that quickly, but our training probably wasn't as intense as this.
We
just being honest.
Training as high level for sure. No, in college.
So I'm interested to see, can they get to that high level and maintain it and stay for a long time, or will they burn out earlier than us? Because we've kind of had a gradual build up to it. Because I believe, I mean, when Morgan and I were in college, like we were not training like...
Right,
like the, even the guys at Wisconsin, we were not training like those guys, like Big King, Bob Liking, and Adam Spencer. We were not training like them, but that's because I think they've got more knowledge, more resources. They know how to train
playing
better and smarter.
Playing field is just
and,
like way higher.
Yeah, and the standard's so much higher. So, I wonder if they can maintain it, will be pretty sick for the sport. If they can't, it'll reassess how people project themselves, maybe to try and get that high level or have a longer career.
Yeah, I want to hear you guys' take because when we were in college. Back to what you're saying, like there was a belief that there was like a running lifespan.
Yeah.
Like if you started later and you started running, that was like a good thing.
You can get longer.
You can go longer. But yeah. Now it's like the mentality has changed where it's like you can never have gotten as many miles as Jakob Ingebrigtsen in.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, it's really what camp you're in is, are you going like that early? Did you get enough exercise when you were young versus like, oh, they started so late so they can keep going longer. You know,
yeah,
I
do.
The engine can be built infinitely now versus like there's so many miles you can run, which is totally different ways of looking at it.
I believe that it really depends how you train. I think there's like if I had a kid, hopefully I do one day. And if
shout
they,
out Cinto.
If they
yeah, wait, I was just like, wait, is this a hint?
We got an announcement.
Yeah.
so if they came to me, let's say hypothetically, they came to me at 12, 13 years old and they're like, Dad, I want to be the best runner in the world. I'd say, go run double threshold. Like, I would literally, I think that if you train in a certain way, it's sustainable. I think there is a lifespan for people's running careers, But I think it's much more, I think it's the intensity which gets to people. And I think that's what starts burning your body in terms of like your certain systems of being able to like fire on the track. And that's where you will probably pick up injuries as well. So I think that like I do look at someone like Jakob, and I think he'll have a really long career, even though he achieved greatness at such a young age. I think just the way he did it, I think is like the way to do it for longevity. And I don't think necessarily everyone, trains in a way for longevity. Like I don't know, I always looked at the Bowman team and it was like, man, these guys are just crushing themselves. But there's always outliers. You have someone like Mohamed, like a lot of the guys in Bowman do it for a long time, but it's a certain type of person who,
Woody's
still gone.
I wouldn't put you in that category because I feel like you've got a long, a lot of time.
Yeah, you're just starting.
I think Evan and Mo are like maybe a bit further on.
Yeah, but I do think that people do sometimes train in a way that shortens their lifespan a lot.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I think you're right. The intensity plays a part, but also the mental side of the intensity.
I think that's the thing that people don't really talk about. It's like you got to want to do it.
That's the bit I think is going to hurt people because setbacks happen, but mentally, if you can't get back to what got you there in the first place, like a lot of people probably go through, like right now, go through college. And if they crush it, they're like not thinking I can win NCAAs. They're thinking I can go and compete at the Olympic Games. Like that's a different mentality in itself. And if you get to that point at that age and then you go through another 4-year cycle and you get beaten and you have injuries and shit comes up and you make mistakes, you start questioning yourself. If you mentally can't go around and become a killer again, because I think there's like two types of people that compete as participators and killers. Participators will just go and run and like they'll be happy with whatever happens, which is probably not majority of our fields, like people that we know. But there is like the pro running circle in general, I think, has these people. And then you have killers that like literally, like what you said, Woody, you hate losing. You hate it. So like what does that make you do? That makes you want to train not just really hard, but appropriately to keep winning. So...
Yeah, this is like he's running succession here.
He's
not a killer. Thank you for calling me a killer.
I think most of my when I talked to Dayton about our team, like I think, and this is sucking off OEC moment, so just strap in for that. But I think most of our team are killers because
I think most people that made it to the top level.
Most people at Bowman were killers.
Have been doing that.
They just are. Like,
yeah,
there's some professional teams that I won't mention that probably have more participators than killers, but.
Yeah,
not us though.
But no, but no, but no. If you look at results and you look at like how they compete, individuals like
man, I gotta start killing again. Man, I gotta get back there. But
we're going to Illegal Pizza after this.
Yeah,
but we're walking into as killers.
Yeah, I have to continue this this circle jerk of OSC. Woody, you can go next. I think that when you talk about the mental, like when you talk about lifespan and you talk about the mental side of it. Which I agree, I think that's the most important thing. That's why I think being part of a really good team, that's the most beneficial part of being part of a really good team. I think, like, I just look at our system and how you probably feel the same way about your system. I look at our system and I say, wow, I can just, like, turn off the training every day. And if I'm just there and I have a good time with my friends at training, I'm going to be a fucking amazing runner, right? And then I look at other people who I know – like have to go and train, like they have to do all these things, which I think is a lot more of a mental effort. Like they have to be away from home for so much longer. They have to travel so much more. They have to do this and that. They might have to do a lot more sessions on their own. I think that stuff catches up to you eventually. And I think that's the biggest benefit of being part of like a great team like we are. I think you can get the same level of work done with a lot less like mental strain, which I think overall is a good thing. I think like there are some things to be said about the benefits of like doing it tough at certain times. You know, you think about kind of like the image of like a boxer going on like their training camps where they're like on their own in the mountains or somewhere for like
any
a month.
Rocky Balboa,
yeah, you think
montage.
About that. Like I think there is something to be said about that as well. But I think in general, being part of like this great team is like, I could do this for the rest of my life.
And I think Mike Smith will take that in for sure. But the one thing that we have that makes us set us apart, which now that's circle
we're talking about OAC again. Not
is
us.
We're very
not the three of
we're
us.
We're very international, which I think helps. Because at the end of the day, we are competing against each other at that high level, but not necessarily all competing at the same teams and stuff. I mean, me, Kai, and Morgan will overlap potentially in the 5K, but we're all at this point where we know that if it comes to it, me and Morgan will smash Kai's kneecaps. So it's going to be fine. We'll make that team.
Right, but so you guys can compete and practice and, you know, yeah, throw a few jabs here and there, but at the, you know, when you're at the championship level, you get to be together.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the one thing that made our team successful with the ego thing is that, like, well, he's the best runner from New Zealand. He's not competing against me to make the American team or the Spanish team or the Australian team. And I think that's something that maybe helps us a lot with our team culture. But, I mean, Mike Smith just has Mike Smith, you know. How can you argue with culture when you have a guy that talks about thousands the way he does? He is the culture, you know.
I don't think that's necessarily
Migos.
True. No. I think the thing is, I'm part of, like, I was not part of the Mike Smith raising. Mm. And I do really like Mike Smith, and I don't think I'm a
Does
cult
anyone
member
not
yet.
Like Mike Smith? Like, how could you not?
I don't like Mike Smith because he didn't check my hand after I paced Abdi to a standard.
How many races have you paced?
Okay, you're overthinking that one.
No, I paced that one with Jakob.
You did. You've done a great job pacing so many races.
And then I got injured.
You remember someone not shaking your hand?
Yeah.
This is like some, like, Michael Jordan.
I would remember that.
I would remember that when he comes to give Jordy a hug.
Yeah,
fair enough. Jordy paced a mile. I paced 3K. He came and gives Jordy a hug, a little squeeze in the butt. And then I walk over, and he just completely ignores me, just walks away. I'm like, oh, no.
We're going to just move past the squeeze on the butt, huh? Okay.
Just trigger the head. Well, I thought that was a Mike Smith thing that they do together, though, George and him. I
just... Just damn it! I haven't been initiated in that way.
Yeah, you might have to figure out how to get to that level. We have to get George back on. No, no. I mean, I just remember that thinking, like, oh wow. And then obviously, like, he was joking, but the Owen thing, yeah, to me is like, okay, like, this guy, like, if I meet him, I probably would like him. I'd probably have a conversation
you would
with
love
him. A beer. I'd probably love
you
him.
Would love him.
But I would. But from that stance, Woody, I'd give him shit.
Yeah,
because that's just who I am as an Aussie. I'd give him shit. Yeah. I'd give him shit about his cult. Give him shit about, like, chop wood, carry water.
Yeah, this is the test of it's a cult. Do people that are there joke about it? Is there self-awareness?
Okay, you're right. No.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
Right. No,
that's crazy.
If you say, exactly. About, you're right. Crazy. You're right. It's a cult.
We joke about OEC with, like, yeah, we joke about Ritz. We joke about, like...
Yeah, you know the absurdity of the coaches. And I know that Mike's absurdity as well.
Yeah.
So I know that accent's
That's why
up.
You're on the outside.
Yeah.
That gives you a better understanding with your coach, because you just, like, if you don't see him in, like, a godlike status, that they're like, you know, we're just two people working things out. Like, I'm a coach, you're an athlete, and we're going to try and do the best we can here.
Yeah, I do. And I think that Mike understands that about me too.
Yeah, so maybe that's where you and Mike actually probably get on really well then.
You guys have such a mature relationship.
Yeah. Who's the most obsessed out of the...
Well, now he's just looking for Goss.
Who's the most obsessed with Mike, where, like, if Mike told them to jump off a bridge, they'd say...
I think I can tell you.
I thought it was George.
We can say that because he's not here.
He's going to listen to this and be like,
I'm trying
wow.
to think. I honestly thought...
I'm sorry, George. I'm not part of this.
I was wondering who it was. I mean, Nico, maybe?
No.
Nico's in his own.
Really?
He's his own.
Luis is on his own. Abdi's on his own, kind of.
No, I think Luis is probably the biggest.
Is obsessed with Mike.
Like, Mike's a genius and everything.
Yeah.
To be fair, I've jumped on the... I think Mike might be really, really smart.
It took you this long to figure it out?
Well, I'm not sure. Always. It takes me a while, but I'm like, damn, man, Mike is, like, slowly, like, he knows what he's doing.
Do you think Jerry's a genius?
He's really smart, too.
He's a crazy genius.
I don't know geniuses or, like, I leave the word genius for, like,
Einstein,
but very, very smart. Jerry's very, very smart.
There's one thing that I do respect Dathan for. Dathan gives a lot of credit. Like, he respects Jerry a lot.
How can you not? Coaching. You can't argue with those.
Yeah. He respects a lot of, I mean, Dathan talks about a lot of coaches and has a lot of respect for them in that. Obviously, he wants to be, like, a better, you know, really good coach, but the way Dathan talks about training and stuff when we talk about, like, you know, or, like, back in the day when, you know, Bauman went to Pheasant Branch and Madison or went to Hawaii or, you know, to train. Like, what do you think of these sessions? Like, Dathan always is very, like, objectively, like, this, they're very good coach, very talented coach. I think to be a good coach, you have to be aware of other good coaches. So do you think Mike looks around and says, wow.
I think some coaches are in their own bubble.
Oh, you reckon he's in his own bubble?
Mike?
No.
No, Mike's most... No. What I like about Mike is he's definitely not in his own bubble.
I think Jerry might be more in his own bubble.
Jerry's in his own bubble.
That's what 100%, I was saying.
Yeah.
So Jerry wouldn't be looking at Mike thinking, like, wow, you just took my job?
I don't think so.
Because that's what that's how I see it. I mean, what, not to
what
start.
Do you, what do you mean?
What I mean is that Nike said, "Wow, this failed at the Bauman move over to Eugene. It's failed.
That hurts to say.
We need to hire somebody else to get the hype back in. Who's going to get the hype back in?
Yeah.
It's Michael Smith. That's just the way I view it. With Mike, it'd just be like I'd be out in the woods somewhere in Arizona.
Not your flavor, I guess.
And he'd give me an axe, and he said, "Ollie, chop this tree down." And then I'd get halfway through and start crying because my hands are blistering. And he says, "This is why you'll never be coached by me," and then walks away. That actually happened.
Yeah, it's like...
Sounds like a nightmare.
It could have been that or a handshake.
That or like was a nightmare that I made up, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Not shaking my hand. Mike, why did you not shake my hand, bro? Yeah.
I honestly think you're overthinking that one.
Oh, 100% I am.
Okay,
100%
just letting
I am.
You know. No.
I just like to do that because I know...
When you go back to Pfizer, could you ask him about that?
No,
absolutely not.
Why not?
Because I'm not he doesn't want to hear about OAC. He's like, I don't know.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't know who Olin Hacker is.
We're enemies now.
Yeah, he's like, I remember shaking Olin's hand.
I say hi to Olin every day.
The reason why I have those two little things, Woody, is because I can't find anything else from his impenetrable armor that is Mike Smith. That's the only two things I have.
I mean, it's somewhere in there. I mean, like, that's the thing is you could tear apart a coach. There's definitely ways you could tear apart any coach. Mm-hmm. I'd go after Dathan if I wanted to. You want me to?
Not really.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Go for it.
Yeah, no. I think that, yeah, you just, I think Mike Smith's a great coach.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy we got to the bottom of that.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
So, but with the name, if they do take the name that we made, can we get some sort of compensation for it from Nike?
What do you think we should name ourselves?
Flagsmith Elite.
Flagsmith Elite.
Yeah, sure.
All right, sweet.
If we actually go for that, I'm gonna say send all proceeds to Honest.
We'll just take club. We'll just take like 60% of all profits from the group.
Yeah, well, why is it 60-40?
Well, because we came up with the name.
We came up with a name.
Like people remember the name. That, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ask Georgie because I know George will just give the money right back to me.
we actually went through the coffee club finances and we're like, why has all this stuff been sent back to Flagstaff? And then we realized that Georgie's actually been just like. The reason why Mike Smith's been able to coach professional athletes is we're funding them with Coffee Club because Jordy's been illegally siphoning that money back to Mike Smith.
I'm actually okay with it.
And then me and Morgan found out and we're like, oh, you know, that's your little side project.
That's fine.
We're happy for George.
That's fine.
All right, well, let's move on. Is there anything else in the cauldron that you want to bring up before we...
Honestly, Primoz, there's not too much. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about while you have this platform?
You know, I feel like we've talked about everything under the sun, from training to
it's been a lot of Mike Smith talk.
A lot of Mike Smith talk. Yeah, which I don't think he listens to this podcast.
No, he does.
You sure?
No.
No, we don't. Okay.
Know. No.
He only listens to it when George is on and then me and Morgan are not on. That's when he listens.
Yeah.
I don't have any sweet nothings for you guys. I will say that the group thing that you got going on at OAC is, I think, something that is going to be something that people are trying to form, but it's going to be more difficult than it was in the past. Like, what you guys did is a difficult thing to do, and I think that I respect it.
Thank you.
Shout out to COVID.
Thanks,
Shout
Woody.
Out to COVID.
I have to give you guys some credit.
Thanks for a little...
Well, I give credit to COVID, though. COVID did help us.
Yeah, you guys did.
Because we didn't have many options, you know? And they're like,
opportunity.
Well, there's an opportunity here with you know, a lot of investment, a lot of
head on.
And then it's like, okay.
Take advantage of it.
And then I got DMs from Joe Clark. I said, hey, we'll be great training partners. I was like, what's up? And then all of a sudden.
The rest is history.
But we got Dylan, Kai, Meyer, and Olivia who are freaking.
I really like Kai. I met him in Dresden and I was like, dang, man.
Yeah. Damn, he's a good one.
He's a good one. He's a good one.
He's a good one.
He's a good one.
Can't confirm.
Yeah. Are we going to go back to St. Moritz?
Maybe.
Did you record that thing on the train?
Yeah. Oh my god. This podcast will come out on a Thursday. The Woody Kincaid special should come out on Tuesday before it. I'll show it to you.
Is this part of the Center Morgan episodes?
Yeah, the adventures.
So this is the fourth episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So and it's crazy. You'll probably get canceled for it, but I'm kidding.
Canceled, I'm sure.
I'm kidding.
No one's canceled anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
I bet you could say something.
I think you could get canceled.
I think you could cancel yourself right now.
Okay, you're right. I'd have to
prove it.
I'd have to really try, but yeah,
prove it. No, that's coming out, and so I'm very excited. I had a lot of fun editing that, and hopefully, everyone at home can check it out. And yeah.
Yeah, little, you let the people know that we trained together in St. Moritz for about a month.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really tell that by watching the video, but no. That did kind of happen.
Yeah.
That was a tough time.
Will you go back to St. Moritz?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think the plan is with the Mike Smith group is we're going to do Phoenix, Flagstaff, and Park City, but I think a couple times we'll end up at St. Moritz.
Why would you go to Park City?
So that we get out of Flag. I think
so. Why don't you come to Boulder?
Perfect. You guys going to get trained with Grant Fisher?
What do you mean too much gossip? You're in Flagstaff. Nothing leaves Flagstaff without gossip, bro. Yeah. Boulder's sweet, bro. It's just a bunch of hippies.
No, I've been... Boulder is not hippies anymore.
Yeah.
Hippies.
That's not fair. There's a word... Yuppies.
Yuppies.
Is that rich hippies? Yuppies?
It was kind of, yeah. I don't know. How would you describe it, Morgan?
Just rich people.
Rich people. Okay.
Like young rich people.
Young rich people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think that, I'll end up in St. Moritz again.
Very nice. Time. We'll see you there then.
Yeah.
Epic.
For part two of the Woody Concave, Woody Concave special.
This is a crossover right now. Coffee Club, Price of a Mile podcast. It's coming back, right? Sure. Can you bring it back with the new group?
If you host it with me, Morgan, if you want to do two podcasts, I'll do it.
You can have our whole studio set.
We could
just to get that podcast.
I would love
back.
To do that. And also, could I pay you like $50 to change your Instagram bio for a month that says I was literally on the Coffee Club podcast?
Put that in there.
No, absolutely not. You'd have to pay me $50,000.
$50,000?
All right, we'll see what we can raise. All right. Raise.
Everybody, GoFundMe.
If you did a GoFundMe, I'll do it.
Get it in Woody's bio.
And
I
that would have to be forever, though.
Podcast.
If it's $50,000, it's forever. You can never change it. It has to be. I was literally on the Coffee Club podcast.
For $50,000. All right.
Deal.
All right.
Forever.
You heard it here first.
Deal. Well, Woody, thank you so much for coming on and joining us today, despite... at one point in our lives, claiming that you never would. You've been one of our favorite guests, conversations, I think we knew you would be. Just thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for forgiving me. Always. The Christmas spirit.
We don't hold anything against you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And those comments that really hurt Morgan's feelings, but
except for that video on the train. But yeah, no, it was a pleasure. And we didn't say our New Year's resolution. Maybe we should put a bow on this. Have you thought about it at all?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I'm thinking about it right now.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I think mine will be...
Because I don't know if I want to make it running related. Like, it shouldn't be running related, right?
You can make it anything you want.
Yeah,
anything.
But running related, it's like almost too typical.
Like, yeah, but it can be anything. It can be like, I want to, you know, go to the zoo or something.
Have you got anything... tickling your mind?
Yeah, I can only think of flossing. I don't floss.
You don't floss enough?
Nah.
Oh, okay. I would like to use... I would like to transform... This is like a kind of a... I don't know if this is a good one or not. I'd like to transform my life to be like... I don't know what the right word for this is exactly, but I'd like to like use no... what's the word? Like hard, bad chemicals for the environment. Like everything in my house in terms of like cleaning products... and like everything you'd find in like the bathroom and the kitchen, I want it to be all like no bad chemicals or like sustainable, like all good stuff.
Yeah, you're preaching my language, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very much into like keeping in like a clean environment. Yeah. I like that. I think that it makes a big difference over the long run.
Can I add into my New Year's resolution?
Go for it.
I want to eat all my foods.
It's perfect. Back to eating once a week.
I want to eat all my foods with seed oils.
You want to go? You want to be a test?
You want to
go know.
Against the grain?
You have to be. No, no. That's, he has to be the test.
Someone has to do it.
Seed oils is the good stuff, isn't it?
They always say to go against the grain, and currently the popular opinion is against seed oils.
Oh yeah, so I want to be for seed oils. I'm going to be the spokesman for the...
How much are they paying? You were just on the phone
oils.
With them.
Yeah, I just confirmed
secured
a deal.
Secured the contract.
I've actually secured your GoFundMe as well. What are you with that?
Honestly, if it happens, I wouldn't be mad.
Like, oh, why, no you know shit, what? You get paid $50,000.
Why would you be mad?
No, I wouldn't be mad at all. I'd be like, this is sick.
I do much worse.
But I'm gonna only eat seed oils.
That'll be...
Shout out to all the seed oil lovers out there.
What is that like? Are we talking... Is that like sunflower oil?
That's
oil,
just like,
oil.
Yeah, all the oils that you use for frying shit, which I just eat already. Mm. So, yeah. Mm. Should be pretty sweet.
Woody?
Yeah.
Send us home.
Yeah, yeah. I think that my New Year's resolution will be to just...
Come back on the Coffee Club podcast.
to be on the podcast one more time. I would love to be on... This was good. I feel like we had a great... first experience.
Yeah, you can tell Mike and all the collectives, and then maybe we can, you know, do a table reading.
Is the Coffee Club podcast an on podcast?
No.
Okay. It's its own entity.
Let's clarify. I'm a Nike athlete.
Yeah, we're our own corporation. We've had Nike athletes.
You're not allowed
before.
To say that. We're going to bleep that out.
I am a Nike athlete.
No,
bleep. I'm a Nike athlete.
Beep.
Nike.
Beep. On.
I'm an on athlete.
I'm an on athlete.
I love.
Dream on. Dream on. Everyone dream on.
Everybody keep dreaming on.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Beep.
Stay turned on. Dream on.
All right. Well, anyways, let's just move on. And
you didn't say your New Year's resolution.
I said I was going to floss. I think I'm going to come. My New Year's resolution is to.
That's so anticlimactic. For all the people that have been listening for the past 17 hours who have been on this podcast, they're like, oh, I wonder what Woody's New Year's resolution is. I want to floss. God damn it. Give us something good. Give us something juicy.
High pressure.
You know what it'll be? I'm going to host more than three team dinners.
Hey, that's a good one. I like that one. That's a really good one.
Can we cop an invite?
Are you going to join our team or what's up?
I mean, no, but.
No, but do we have to join a team to go?
Yeah,
we're part of a team.
Yeah, we are on a team.
We're part of a human being team.
We'll invite you to our team dinners.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'd love that.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
All right. Well, once again, Woody, thank you so much for coming on and joining us today. It's been an absolute blast. And thank you so much to everyone at home. This has been episode 167 of the Coffee Club podcast. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye-bye. Ciao.